turn in the scriptures now, and we're going to read here the first seven verses of Luke chapter 2. And as I told you, I will be reading from the King James Version. So Luke chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." When we come here to Luke chapter 2, as we see the text, these few first verses show us that there was a tax that went out, that everyone had to travel to the place of their lineage. And so Joseph, being of the lineage of King David, must travel to Bethlehem. And he's traveling with his wife Mary, who was pregnant and about to be delivered of her child. So they make that long journey to Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem wasn't a very well-known place at the time. It was an obscure little village, so obscure that, in fact, in Micah's prophecy, he tells us that he had to declare which Bethlehem he was talking about. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And so apparently there was a Bethlehem in the north of Israel and one in the south near Jerusalem. And so he tells us Bethlehem Ephrathah. In other words, the Bethlehem by Jerusalem. We have to tell you specifically the very place. And it's an incredible prediction because it was made approximately 700 years before the coming of Christ. Remember, there were multiple predictions concerning the coming of Jesus. And of course, very specifically, that he would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem in Judah hardly even carried the rank or status of a country town. It was located about 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. In fact, so small that both in Joshua 15, Nehemiah 11, it's not even listed there, not even mentioned, this small, obscure little place. Providence certainly was at work when the Lord had directed Joseph and Mary even to travel to this small place, that she should be delivered there in fulfillment of this prophecy. And as they travel to Bethlehem, there's no room for them in the inn. In reality, it was pretty dreadful, and the conditions also dreadful. Could you imagine, those of you who are parents, that the hospital is not available, there's no place for you to deliver your child, just a dirty animal stall in a barn? We couldn't imagine conditions like that. But there was our Savior, Redeemer, being born in an animal barn. And of course, that she laid him in a manger there. Really shows the humility of God, the humility of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? It shows that this God identified with you and me in our uncleanness. That Jesus came for us, not so that we were already clean and perfect and holy, but he came to make us clean and pure and holy as he entered into this corrupt world, even as a child, even as a babe, in Bethlehem's manger. Our shorter catechism tells us that Christ's humiliation consisted in his being born, and that in a low condition, made under the law, undergoing the miseries of life, the wrath of God, the cursed death of the cross, and being buried and continue under the power of death for a time. And so in this humility, remember, as you celebrate Christmas, it's Jesus who identifies with you in weakness, in humility, as he came into this unclean world, ultimately to make us clean. And so let us now turn in our hymn book, and we'll sing together 201. Let us sing together number 201, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And let us stand together as we sing. Let us now return in our Bibles, and we'll read verses 8 and 9 as we work our way through the Christmas story. And so verses 8 and 9 says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." They were sore afraid. I'm sure one of the questions that you've had to answer this Christmas is, are you prepared? Have you bought everything that you need for your Christmas dinner? Are we even getting together for a Christmas dinner? Have you gone and picked up all the packages that you need, the presents that you plan to give to each family member, that person that is special to you? We usually, obviously, spend time giving gifts to one another. And so have you prepared and have you gone and picked up the things that you need? And even as I was driving here this afternoon, the stores were just full and people just kind of picking up those last-minute items and making sure that they have everything and they're ready for tomorrow. And so I'm sure everyone here is absolutely prepared for tomorrow. Is that right? Absolutely. I see everyone. Yes, I'm ready. Tomorrow is going to be great. I'm looking forward to being together with family. Well, here, as we've just read this passage, these shepherds, they were just abiding in the field. They were going about their routine. To them, there was nothing special about to happen. They were looking after their sheep. And so you can imagine their amazement and surprise as they're there in the fields, just going about their business. And all of a sudden, this angel comes. The angel of the Lord comes upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. This amazing vision, this angel that comes and is revealed to them. Now, have you ever considered why the text does not read, "Now there were in the same region scribes and Pharisees keeping watch over their scrolls and religious rituals"? Oh, it's not directed to the scribes and the Pharisees. Nor does it say there were in the same region kings and princes, royalty, keeping watch at their palace for the coming of the king. I mean, we don't read about kings and princes and royalty. But who does the angel appear to? Just shepherds. Shepherds abiding in the field. And why these shepherds? Well, that God chose simple shepherds to be the first to know the birth of Christ, the Savior, certainly seems unusual because they had a lowly task. Shepherds were not educated in the law like the scribes and the Pharisees. They were considered ignorant men, common workers. Their work made them, in fact, ceremonially unclean. And so by visiting the shepherd, or these shepherds, the angel revealed, ultimately, the grace of God to all mankind. God does not call the rich, the mighty, but who does He call? He calls the poor, the lowly, the humble, those who are willing to come by faith. Remember what Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 1:26. He said, "Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." He calls the lowly, the humble. He calls those who are just common. Each and every one of us, we ultimately should be very thankful. The Lord has called us to Himself. He's enabled us to come through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. These shepherds were a picture of the person and work of Christ. Remember, He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd that should call His sheep. We are His sheep. We hear His voice. We follow Him. And He is the one who guides and leads His sheep, the church, as the Lamb of God, ultimately, who sacrificed Himself for us. How great is the Good Shepherd that we have. What symbolism it is that He came to announce, the angels came to announce this birth to the shepherds when the Great Shepherd ultimately would appear for us. And so the message of the gospel, remember, is for you, for me. Not that we have to have a noble birth. It's not for someone in a royal position. It's just for common people that we all can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And so let us turn again in our hymn book. And this time we'll sing number 222. "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks." While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks. Let us stand together as we sing. Let us continue our reading, and now we come to verses 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11. It says, "And the angel said to them, because they were in great fear the moment they saw the angel and the glory of the Lord around them. But the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so although these shepherds were taken by surprise at the appearance of the angel and filled with this fear and dread, they weren't sure what came upon them, but the message of the angel was that of comfort and of good news. I bring you good tidings, in fact, of great joy, a time of rejoicing for all people. For to you, shepherds, in fact, to you of all humanity, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Literally, the angel said, I announce to you good news that will bring great joy to your heart and to your soul. To preach the good news, that's the gospel, isn't it? We hear about the good news of Christ, good news for those who are lost in sin, that there is a hope, a future that we have because of Jesus. So here we have Luke's emphasis on the worldwide gospel message. That's why we as Christians have a message to go out and share to others, a message of life and hope of salvation. And this good news was that God did not just send a soldier, a judge, or a politician. Certainly we need these things in our society. But the Lord saw our greatest need in a Savior. It's a message of true joy to the heart, to the soul, because that's what we need. A number of years ago, there was a toddler that fell down a narrow well. You can imagine the horror of the parents when they recognized that their child had disappeared and they couldn't find that child anywhere. Her mother went looking for her, and as soon as she realized that she was missing, she was horrified to hear her daughter's voice coming up from a deep, dark well from that shaft. Firefighters and other rescuers soon came to try to rescue that child. News media arrived, and for hours, the attention of the nation was riveted in that place in the desperate attempts to try to pull the child up and to rescue this child out of this situation before it was too late. The little girl didn't need anyone to give her some ideas on how to live a happy life, on how to enjoy a good Christmas, on receiving gifts, but rather she needed someone to reach down and to pull her up and to rescue her, or else she was doomed. The most important news that desperate mother could hear in this situation was that they've reached her, that they pulled her out, and they have saved her. She didn't want to hear about how things were going on in the world and that the weather tomorrow is going to be warm and rainy. And unfortunately, that's the case, isn't it? We're going to have a nice, warm, rainy Christmas. But nevertheless, that's not what this woman wanted to hear. Again, she wanted to hear that her child was rescued, pulled to safety, and with them once again. When someone is lost, someone needs to hear good news. How is it that I can be saved? How is it that I can be rescued? We recognize that we live in a lost world, a fallen world, a world that is under the wrath of God, the judgment of God. And the only hope that we have is that God was the one who reached down from heaven, and He was the one who sent His Son, His only beloved Son, even for us, born of a child in Bethlehem, placed in a manger, so helpless, so holy. But nevertheless, remember, His name shall be called Jesus. Why? Because He saves us from our sins. He saves you from your sins. That's why we rejoice in this day. We are thankful for this day. We celebrate the birth of Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Because we were like that child in that place where we were doomed and we couldn't help or save ourselves. That child couldn't pull herself out of that well. That child needed someone to come and reach down and to pull her out. Well, each and every one of us, we need one to come and to reach down into this world. And with a mighty, strong arm, with salvation, pulling us out and restoring us back to our God. The most important news that we could ever hear. And of course, when we think about this, indeed, it does give us great joy. A message of joy to all people that in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord, is born. The Messiah, the promised one, even from the very beginning when man fell into sin, God promised that a Messiah would come. Well, here He is. And this child was born for us so that we also might experience great joy. So, of course, at this time, we need to sing about joy. And so please turn with me in your hymn book to 195. 195. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And this time we can remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
let us continue with the angel's message in verses 12 to 14. Reading here, verses 12 to 14. It says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The birth of Christ resulted in praise. Heavenly angels come together as a chorus, singing and giving praise to God for what this child would bring to us here on earth. The enmity between God and man now removed, fellowship restored, man able to come to his God once again. Christ's birth resulted in the glory that God deserves because he is the one who redeemed and saved us. He is the one who is worthy of our praise and our adoration. And so thankfully, Christ is ultimately the focus here as this multitude are praising and giving glory to God, that we also receive this glory, this peace, even towards men. There was a lady who was shopping for Christmas, and she was at a mall. Now, our mall in Moncton doesn't have an elevator, but the mall where this lady was shopping, it did have an elevator. And so she was getting into the elevator, and she was quite frazzled, quite upset, because she was having to fight the crowds to get her gifts and get ready for Christmas time. And as she elbowed her way into the elevator, because it was quite full, she said, "The person who came up with this idea for Christmas should be strung up and shot." Now, can you imagine the person who came up with this Christmas idea strung up and shot? But there was a fellow in the back who said, "Don't worry, lady, they already crucified him." Remember, Christmas is not just about a babe. Christmas is about what the Savior has done for us. Jesus came to fulfill righteousness for you and for me when we did not have righteousness. Jesus is the one who paid the penalty for our sin when we could not pay. Remember, we're bankrupt. There is nothing that could ever bring us in holiness and righteousness before our God to come to Him. It was Jesus who paid the ultimate penalty for us when he laid down his life upon Calvary's cross. That's what we're ultimately celebrating here. Jesus came to minister to me. He saw me and my need, and he met that need completely and fully. And how do I receive this wonderful gift of salvation? It's simply by grace, isn't it? By grace, you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, the gift of God that he has given to us, not of works, not of anything that we could ever do. Praise be to God for his unspeakable gift to each and every one of us. We celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ because he is no longer upon that cross. He is risen, as he said. And even now, where is he? Where is your Savior? He is seated at the right hand of God and there making intercession for each and every one of us so that we also would know the life of God in the Spirit. And so may we also be able to say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. I can come boldly to the throne of grace because of my Savior Jesus Christ. I am a child of the King today because of my Lord Jesus Christ. He has done all things well. And now, indeed, I can rejoice. May we be a rejoicing people today. And let us give him praise by singing together hymn number 203. "Hark, the herald angels sing," 203. And this time, let us stand together as we sing. And now we come to the last section of our reading from verses 15 to 20. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And so we see in this section, the joy of the angels was passed on and became the joy of the shepherds. They left what they had behind in order to go and see this young child. They had to see what the angels were talking about. Too many of us certainly are trying to carry too much stuff along the way. Sometimes you have to leave the stuff behind and race and go see Jesus, that we might experience Him and know the fullness of what it means to have faith in a Redeemer and Savior. And so they left behind everything. They ran. They wanted to see this child with diligence. May we come to Jesus with diligence today, recognizing our need of Him. There is so much in this world that can cause us fear and distress and anxiety. I mean, we're living in a time of COVID-19. I'm sure there's some of you that haven't had the opportunity to even go to church for a very long time. But thankfully, we can still come and gather and worship our great King. And that the joy of the angels, the joy of heaven, can also be your joy and my joy. That we can experience that which comes from God. Because the believer's strength is ultimately joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy in God. To have the peace of God that ultimately surpasses understanding. Remember, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us a teacher or an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist or someone to give us more of these types of devices. But that's not our need, isn't it? More technology. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need is not just money or finances. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. And that's what we would have seen in the manger. But are these things our greatest need? Absolutely not. Our greatest need was forgiveness from sin, cleansing from unrighteousness. Our greatest need was to be made right with God, that one would pay the debt that we could never pay. And Jesus was the one who did that for us. God saw our need, and He sent us a Savior. He sent us Jesus, our Redeemer, the one who now even lives to make intercession for each and every one of us. All who heard the shepherds were amazed at what they were saying about Jesus. Brothers and sisters, do not miss the wonder of the birth of Christ. Do not allow familiarity to rob you of the joy that God has given to you in the Savior. He is worthy of your praise today. His birth is the greatest news that this world could ever receive. And thankfully, that news is still going out. That Jesus is alive today and alive forevermore. And we live in a day of grace where men and women and children can call upon the name of the Lord and be gloriously saved. You can know the peace of God that surpasses understanding today. Make sure that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Make sure that you have turned from your sin, that you've embraced Christ. He is Lord and Master of your life. He can turn things around. Even right now, if you're discouraged, if things aren't going well, if you think, well, where are the answers going to come from? Guess what? The starting point is to make sure that your life is on a firm foundation, that Jesus is the rock, And as we fix ourselves upon that foundation, upon the rock of Christ, let the storms come. They're not going to shake us. They're not going to move us. They can't harm us. But if we don't build our life on Jesus Christ, it's like the man who builds his house upon the sand. And when the storms come, the trials and the pain and the suffering comes, it's very easy for that house to be blown over and lost. But those who fix their life upon Christ, you couldn't have a better foundation for your life. Make sure that your heart, your faith is in the right place. It's fixed upon Jesus. And in knowing Jesus, you have life. And you can receive the best and the greatest gift that anyone could ever give to you, even at this Christmas time, an unspeakable gift, the blessing of salvation in Jesus Christ, to know Him. Make sure that you know Him today. Make sure that you embrace Him. And so let us sing again, just as we close this service. 194, returning now to 194. O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appear. Let us stand together. be seated. Well, let us now close this meeting in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the time spent in your house here this evening. And Lord, we're thankful that we can come and praise and rejoice in that wonderful gift that you've given to us in your Son, your only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. That unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. That this child was born for us, to give us life and hope and a certain future. For Lord, we are like that child at the bottom of the well, where we could not rescue ourselves. And if we remain there, we would perish. And Lord, without Christ, we know that if we remain in this world apart from Christ, we perish. But Father, you are the one who reached down from heaven. You came from glory. That Christ, though he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich, that by grace we would be saved. And so we're thankful for the gift of faith. We're thankful that we can come to you, that Jesus has made the new and living way for us beyond the veil, that the veil was torn from top to bottom when Jesus declared that the work of redemption was finished and complete, and that we now rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ for us. That God, in his goodness and grace, forgives sin, great sin. And Father, that ultimately the blood of Jesus Christ is that which washes us and cleanses us from all our sin. And now we are heirs and joint heirs with our God, Jesus. And so, Lord Jesus, be honored and glorified in us and through us. And as we think about tomorrow, we think about Christmas, Lord, help us not just to focus upon the traditions of Christmas, the gifts of Christmas, or the dinner that's associated with Christmas. Help us, Lord, to focus on the Savior of Christmas, the reason for this season, and rejoice in this wonderful gift that you've given to us. And so bring us home in safety. Watch over us this evening. Continue with us now and direct us to yourself. Help us, Lord, to have our lives upon a rock, that firm foundation upon which we can build our lives. That even though the storms may come, yet nevertheless we stand, because the one who supports us will never, ever fall. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the foundation we have in Jesus. So bring us home, watch over us, and bless us, and even prepare our hearts to gather and worship on the Lord's Day, to worship you. We give you praise, and we pray this in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.